started since we got five or eight, so we got enough to get moving. Just a couple of quick housekeeping items. Thank you to Autumn for being our pinch hitter as far as staff representatives today, since Rachel is down with the flu. We'll get started with our March 3rd, 2016 EAC meeting, just for posterity. Has everyone had a chance to look at the agenda? Got a couple of copies going around. I get a motion to approve the agenda as presented, please.
I'll approve the agenda.
Thank you.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And did anyone get a chance to listen to the recording from last month? Anybody that wasn't? I think we were all here from last month.
I did.
I wasn't here.
Okay.
It was fun. It was recording everything we said.
There we go. Perfect. That was our intent, so that's good. All right. So, old business. You all remember last month we concluded our conversation, I guess I would say our research and then conversation about greenways, which stem from green infrastructure originally. That process started back in August of 2015. In the copies going around, there's a copy of the letter that was sent out to the commissioners through the clerk's office in support of greenways last week. And they'll get that in their packet, I believe, for the March 7th meeting. But because we're not recommending anything for approval, it's just merely a communication of our interest and research and support of greenways in Henderson County. So does anyone have any questions about that before we move on?
That was also the one in the attachment, too, correct?
Right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, and it was amended for our conversation last month, which was good conversation, so I appreciate that. As far as new business, we're lucky to have Kieran Rowe with us today, who's the Executive Director of Cattlemount Land Conservancy. He's going to talk to us about the Bell Trail Park project, which is, we felt like it was a good topic to hear about because it's something definitely in the ilk of green infrastructure in our community. And so without further ado, I'd like to have Mr. Kieran.
Okay.
The floor is yours.
That's great. Thank you, Ryan.
Sir.
Thanks, everybody, for letting me come and chat with y'all. Rachel, I think, sent out a number of materials for sometime last week, one of which was a little link to our website that had a little movie on it. She sort of suggested maybe I talk a little bit about CNLC generally and then
sure.
about the project in particular. I don't need to show the movie again if you all have already had the chance to take a look at that, or if not, feel free to take a look whenever you have a chance. But so I was here 2 or 3 years ago, but I see a lot of different faces, so I don't know if anybody who's here now has already heard me talk about Conservancy a couple of years ago, but I'll give sort of a quick overview. CNLC, as we call ourselves, is a local nonprofit organization based here in Hendersonville. Our office is over on Upward Road, and we work in Henderson, Transylvania, and parts of the neighboring counties to conserve land. We work with landowners on a completely voluntary basis, and we use a variety of tools to conserve land. In some cases, we acquire land outright. And this is a project I talked about today. A lot of those cases involve working with public agencies to hold it, acquire it on an interim basis, and then turn it over to the public ownership, either on a county level, or we work, for instance, with a lot with the Chimney Rock State Park, helping to get that park off the ground and developed and added a number of the parcels that have created that park. We're on DuPont State Forest. So land acquisition is certainly something we do. The other tool that we use is something called a conservation easement, and that's what our little movie kind that's where a landowner has land that they own privately, and they work with us because they agree that it would be a great thing to protect the land from certain future uses. And mostly what we're talking about is future development of the property. And so we've done somewhere around 150 of those conservation easements in this region that we're working. And we protect farmland, forest land, natural areas, land along rivers and streams, land that protects scenic views. So a whole range of what we call conservation values that are present. And when we work with a landowner on something like that, it's a written agreement that we develop and customize to the property in question. So we look at the kind of conservation values, what is it that we're trying to protect, and then we also talk with the landowner about their goals, what do they want to see or not see happen in the future, and then we develop a consensus document, put that into the deed of a conservation easement, we sign that, gets recorded at the county land record office, so it runs with the deed of the property, and it's binding not just on the landowners who contribute that easement to us, but on any future owners of that property. So our part of that relationship then is that we become the holders of the easement and are responsible moving forward to ensuring that the terms of the easement are upheld. And for us, that means generally we go out there about once a year and monitor and meet with the landowner and so just make sure that those conservation values that we're all interested in protecting, and that everything that we do is really guided as we see it by trying to benefit the public, protecting the quality of our water, the beauty of this region that we're living in, etc. So that's sort of a quick sort of summary of who we are and what we do. And the project I'm here to talk to you today about is, as Ryan said, what we're calling the Bell Trail Park Project. And I have a little PowerPoint I'll quickly run through. That postcard on the first slide is a postcard from, I think, the 1920s, showing what at that time were sort of fairly new engineering marvels of that day. And those two showing there are the high bridge that crosses the Green River. And this is along 176 south of Henderson Village, or heading towards Saluda. Mm-hmm. And it's actually just below Lake Summit on the Green River. And now, DOT, about 10 years ago, created a new, wider bridge crossing that parallels that historic bridge right beside it. Mm-hmm. At the time, there was conversation about, well, I guess we'll knock down the high bridge and replace it with a new one. But people, particularly from that part of the county, kind of rose up and said, this is kind of a neat historic structure. Why don't we not knock the bridge down and, we'll make it accessible to pedestrians, which it is right now. So that's still standing. And in some ways it relates to the park that we're creating, which will be across the road from that. But that's one of the cultural features, that long black piping coming down there alongside the Green River is the Cypress Flume that was created back in the early part of the 20th century and brings water out of Lake Summit and feeds the hydro, the Duke Energy power plant there, which is a little further downstream. And at the time it was created, it was quite a engineering feat to use those wooden planks and create this conduit for the water to get down and power the power plant. So both of those are among the cultural historic features that would be interpreted at the park that we're talking about. Just to again talk about sort of where we're located here. So this map actually says 68 acres. We kind of clarified with the landowner it's actually 72 acres he's offering to make this park. And as you see, it's right here on the Green River below Lake Summit, so in that southern end of Henderson County near the town of Zirconia there. This map kind of shows how this park project sits in a larger context of other lands in the region, on up here to DuPont State Forest and some big tracts of land where we have conservation easements in the upper Green River, the biggest of which is the Green River Preserve Summer Camp, where they've protected 2,600 acres there that adjoins DuPont. So these headwaters, parts of the Green River, are really in good shape, largely due to the fact that you have most of that upper watershed in conservation of one kind or another. We also have a few other conservation easements down closer to Lake Summit. And the other interesting part of this park, you've heard me say that the name is proposed to be the Bell Trail Park. And for those who know anything about the history of the camp industry in this region, Camp Mondanin, which is right here on Lake Summit, was founded by Chief Frank Bell, as he was known, and Kala Bell, his wife, back sometime in the 1920s. And they were really the first of the summer camps that are now such a big part of this region. And his family, and his children and grandchildren have gone on to run these camps and found other camps in the region. So they're really the pioneers and part of what we thought would be great to do. And this was actually the idea of the landowner we're working with, is to highlight that camp heritage and recognize Chief Frank and Kala Bell for that pioneering work they did to establish summer camps in this region. The other thing that this tract connects to is the 10,000-acre Green River Game Lands, which is just a little bit further on the Green River here and heading on over into Polk County primarily. And this stretch of the Green River is very popular with boaters and kayakers. Parts of it are the narrows, where it's a class 5 rapids that draw people from around the country to test their skills on. Further down, there's places where it's more easy, boating and tubing and all that. So this tract would connect into that larger conservation area and and protect a little bit more of that stretch of the Green River in Henderson County. Zeroing in on the property itself, this is an aerial photo of the tract in question. So here's that high bridge that I was pointing out at the beginning. The flume coming down, I think, is down here. And the other cultural feature that comes right past this property is the Saluda Grade Railroad, the railroad line that at one time was renowned because it was the steepest standard gauge railroad in the U.S. Currently, there's no usage. That stretch of the track is not in use any longer, but it has that interesting history that could also be a part of what this park could highlight. You'll see that the beginning of the track is right here along 176, which North Carolina has what they call their Scenic Byways Program. So various stretches of highways across the state are identified as being scenic. And there's something called the Pacolet River Byway, which starts right here at the Green River, continues on down into Saluda and into Polk County. So part of what this project would be doing is also protecting the view from that scenic byway and helping to keep it in its relatively scenic state. So the red outline here is the boundary of the tract, the 72 acres. This yellow line here is one sort of conceptual idea of where the trails might go on the tract. So we come into this part of the tract closest to 176 and then head on down ultimately to the area right adjoining the Green River Game Lands. We've also talked more recently with the Wildlife Resources Commission, the agency that manages game lands, and they're very cooperative on the idea that we could connect a trail into the game lands and have this sort of serve as a gateway in Henderson County into the game lands. There's also a little area down here right along the Green River, the Pot Shoals kayak put-in and parking lot right here. And so that would also be another way into the park coming in from that side. Just a torso map showing what that looks like. It's a fairly steep, kind of gorgy area, kind of on either side of the Green River here. One other thing to note, the track doesn't come all the way up to the Green River. There's land, another thin sliver of land paralleling the river there, owned by Duke Energy, which of course has the power plant down here. And they have agreed to put a conservation easement along that stretch of the river to kind of match what we're doing at the park and to help serve as match to other grant money that we hope to receive for this project. And so that easement, combined with the park, will do a good deal to ensure that that stretch of the Green River stays natural and protect the water quality of the water coming into the river at that point.
So that would be a lot more than 72 acres total.
Yeah, that would be another, I want to say it's somewhere around 30 acres that Duke would be adding to the project.
Kieran, is that along one side of the river, or is it,
yeah,
is it both sides of the river?
Their easement would just be here on this, I guess, east side of the river,
okay,
sort of connecting the Bell Trail Park property with,
right,
the green and protecting that, that whole side there.
Okay.
So just for goals and purposes of our project, I've already mentioned the scenic protection, particularly along the scenic byway, the opportunity to highlight and interpret some interesting culture and history of Henderson County. One of the main purposes would be to create another opportunity for hiking and walking, both to residents of the county, and particularly that southern part of the county, but also to visitors that would be coming along the scenic byway there. Ryan has mentioned that greenways have become a focus of this committee, and you know, traditional greenway is sort of a paved, fairly flat kind of surface, and there are plans in the works to do that kind of thing. This is maybe a little bit non-traditional in that it will be a more natural hiking park, but I think similar goals, giving residents and visitors one more opportunity in the county to get out and enjoy some healthy outdoor recreation. Of course, protection of the wildlife habitat along there, and I should note there were a couple of interesting sort of features and destinations here for hikers to get in and enjoy. A couple of nice little cascades along this river that come, or the tributary that coming into the Green River, and then some rocky outcrops there as well. I'm told that that district in the county is called the Raven Rock District. Autumn, I don't know if you're familiar with exactly where that's located, but I've been told that the district gets its name from that sort of rocky collection of rocks right there that are what the Raven Rock is, or that's where the Raven Rock is located. So that'd be another kind of feature that would be notable to the county getting those. The Raven Rock protected. Of course, water quality protection, promoting outdoor recreation tourism. On that point, I'll mention I talked with the Tourism Development Authority, and they have created a letter of support that they're sending in to the county commissioners. They see the location of this property right sort of on the entrance coming into the county from Polk County as sort of a great opportunity to sort of create a gateway park and have signage and information about other features, other attractions in the county that visitors can enjoy. So they really like the idea of having that point of public interest that would attract visitors and educate them about other features and attractions in the county. Finally, honoring the regional camp heritage we think that the folks in the camp industry are pretty interested in this idea of having a park that would provide an opportunity to highlight and draw attention to the importance of the camp industry to the region. This project that we're proposing, and really one of the main reasons I asked Ryan if I could come to talk with you all here today, we're proposing a partnership with Henderson County. And there's a source of funding with on the state level in North Carolina called the Parks and Recreation Trust Fund. I don't know if any of y'all have heard of that trust fund before, but many of our local parks and county parks in Henderson County, as well as the surrounding areas, have benefited from grants from this state trust fund. That fund will both pay for the cost of acquiring land, acquiring property to create a park, as well as the cost of doing development of various kinds. And this is a list of other projects that we've worked on with other counties and municipalities in the region, including a similar project with Henderson County up in the Hickory Nut Gorge. For these counties, a lot of these parks are maybe, I would call them non-traditional in that they're not involving soccer fields or baseball fields. So it'll be a natural park, but we have a great track record now working with local units of government to help them create parks by seeking a Parks and Recreation Trust Fund grant. We have a lot of experience in writing the grants, and in almost every case, what we've done is find ways to do the project at no cost to the county or municipality in question. PARTIF does require matching money. They will only pay up to 50% of the project costs. And so for us, that's meant we have worked to either bring in other matching grant dollars or private donations, or in many cases, landowners, as is the case in this project, are willing to be paid less than the fair market value of the property and have that land value donation serve as match as well to the state dollars. So that's what we're hoping that the county will agree to do in this case. We've already talked a lot about these potential partners here, but Henderson County being on the top of the list, our conservancy, travel and tourism folks. The city of Saluda is right up the road, and I think they're really interested in doing more to promote outdoor recreation tourism for their region. The Gorge Zipline folks have a facility not too far from here and are very supportive of this. Summer camps and their alumni, as well as private donors and volunteers. I mentioned the other project we've done of a similar nature with the county, and it's worked the same way. We helped to write the grant, raise the dollars, develop the park, put in the trails, and then gave it to the county at no cost. And then, of course, the county then is agreeing to take on ownership and long-term responsibility for the management of the park. Although, in both that case and the Bell Trail Park, we are willing as an organization to bring in volunteers to take a lot of the responsibility for ongoing trail maintenance. So even there, mainly what we're asking county is to partner on seeking the grant. PARTIF does require a local unit of government to be the applicant, so nonprofit organizations like ours cannot apply directly. That's why we would need a partner to be the applicant, technically. And this is the project budget that we're working on. We sort of see two phases, the land acquisition phase up here, and then the park development phase. We're looking at a grant request to the state trust fund of about $400,000. That combined with a foundation grant that has been awarded and the landowner pledge of a donated land value will match the part of grant and get us what we need.
So that's, I think that's the highlights, but yeah, please.
Reading your presentation online,
yes.
These folks, are they on this map, these maps?
Those other parks?
Yeah.
No.
They're not even in there yet.
No. I can certainly get you all a map if you'd like to see that.
Yeah, it's just a small portion.
Yeah, but those are completed parks.
Yeah. This shows a lot of the things that we, conservancy and things that have happened. I was just wondering if these newer ones were included on that map.
You know, I think this is just showing a subset of our region, but most of those park projects would be elsewhere, you know, over in Transylvania County or elsewhere in Henderson County, so that's why.
Well, I didn't see the Flat Rock one. I'm right near there, so I was thinking.
No, it's not there.
It wouldn't even show up on the map of that scale.
No.
It's a little bit north of Zirconia there, so it'd probably be somewhere up there.
Yeah, I was hoping to find it on the other map. But
You know what? We probably didn't. It probably might be over here someplace on Upward Road, but we didn't get it on this map, unfortunately.
Yes, before the...
There's a national park right there called Sandbar.
Yeah, and ours would be down...
It'd be under the Carl Sandbar.
Where King Mountain is
what
sort
are we
of maybe...
The Long Parks? The one
no, Flat Rock Park.
The little
oh,
Flat Rock
Park. Yeah.
Remember the big brouhaha?
Yeah, it'd be right there.
Yeah. It's there somewhere.
Somewhere.
So Karen, when you you've presented this to the Recreation Advisory Board, correct?
Yeah.
What was their response or their feedback on the proposal?
We talked to them last year, and I'm going back next week. They have their meeting on the 8th, and they were very interested. They had a lot of questions. They didn't feel they were at the point when we spoke to them last year that they were ready to make a recommendation to the commissioner. I'm hoping when we meet with them next week that they'll be at that point. When it comes to PARTA, the county has been an applicant for other projects over the years.
Right.
And there are, you know, this is probably not surprising, there are a variety of priorities that the Rec Board and the Parks Department in the county are looking at. And there's some thoughts about making some improvements to the park in Dana and the park in Tuxedo.
Mm-hmm.
My sense is that neither of those parks is at the stage where they're likely to be ready to seek a PARTIF grant this year. So I think that was, we just wanted to see, well, we don't want to commit to this one until we know if there's any other park that we might want to seek a grant for this year. I guess I'll find out for certain next week, but my sense is that based on talking to Tim Hopkins, that it doesn't seem like any of the other parks are lining up this year. I should mention that the Parks and Recreation Trust Fund grant deadline is May 2nd, so that's the date that we're focused on, and to move forward, we're hoping to get the Rec Advisory Board recommendation next week, and then we would ultimately need the Board of Commissioners to sign off on that at one of their meetings here in March or April.
Okay.
So if you all feel this fits with the focus of your committee and you were of a mind to send a similar letter of support to the commissioners, that would really, I'm sure, help us. The more people bodies and committees in the county that express support, I think the more likely it is that the commissioners will decide, yes, this is something we want to do. So.
One other question that comes to mind for me, Karen, is we talked about how humans may use or could use this area, but what about, being that it's a gorge, is there a certain amount of biodiversity in there, just being that it is kind of inaccessible?
We haven't conducted what we call a biological inventory on the site yet, but based on where it is, right along the Green River with a couple of tributaries coming through it, I've talked already about those rocky outcrops and those cascades, with that diversity of habitats and that sort of steep area, that doesn't look like it's been logged any time recently, and okay. So my guess is that there'll be some interesting things in there.
Sure.
Does that encompass the Narrows?
No.
It does.
It's the dry section of the Green River.
Did you say this would fall under Parks and Recreation or no? I think I missed part of it.
Yeah, so if it unfolds as we're proposing, it would become a county park at the end of the process. And so it would be, you know, added to the portfolio of the parks that the county parks department manages right now. So for that reason, I think the Parks Advisory Board or Recreation Advisory Board, I guess they're called, probably the most important committee to, you know, to get the feedback from. But since you all are also interested in greenways, I thought it might be of interest to your committee as well.
I know you said the deadline for the trust fund grant was May, but what's the overall deadline? I mean, what would be a kind of a general overall time frame you would expect something like this before people can go out there and use it?
Oh, yeah. So, Partif used to have a deadline in January. Mm-hmm. This year they changed it to May. When it was January, they would make grant awards in May and July. They had two rounds. My guess is it'll probably be sometime in sort of fall, September, October timeframe this year. So that's when we'd know if the grant was awarded. And then we would move quickly as an organization to buy the property and work with the county to, you know, manage the state grant dollars. I'd say we'd probably be able to buy the property by the end of this calendar year. And then it'd probably be in 2017 we'd work to put in the trails and other park developments, which would be pretty basic, you know, it'd be trails, parking, and some signage is what we're envisioning. And I'd probably say that would be finished by the end of 2017, so at the very end of next year, I'd say it'd probably be ready for the county to open it up as a park at that point.
Did you purposely leave off biking on the single track?
You know, we're not close to the idea of including of biking there. When I talked to Tim Hopkin, we did a tour of the property with Tim and others from the county earlier this year, and it was Tim's opinion, and Tim's a great biker, as you probably know, and he didn't feel that with DuPont being so nearby that there was a big need for mountain biking in this section of the county. You know, if there are others that have a different opinion, you know, that's certainly something, you know, another element that could be added to the park.
Would you have paved trails?
Not. I don't think that's what we're envisioning.
Okay, that's not what I'm envisioning.
Yeah,
so that's why I had to ask.
Yeah. Now these would be more of a natural surface, so it wouldn't be, you know, a paved traditional greenway where you could, you know, walk a stroller or something like that. But it would be well-developed trails, natural surface.
Like walking into the forest.
Like
walking
wood
into
chips
the forest,
kind
yeah.
of stuff? Or
yeah.
Like the Trembador Trail over next to Bearwall?
Yeah.
I've got some little trails on our land that are 5 years old now and just wood chips, and there's no weeds in it or anything. I'm a wood chip fan.
Yeah, but some places get more traffic than others.
Yeah,
you don't get a whole lot of
traffic
there.
That's
no.
true.
High traffic.
So if the county would own it eventually, would be the plan, but there would be an easement on it. Is that correct?
There would be a conservation easement on the tract immediately beside it there on the Duke Energy.
Okay, so that would just go into public ownership. The county would just there's be no conservation easement on the Bell tract.
That's correct. The Parks and Recreation Trust Fund grant doesn't require a conservation easement, but they do put something I would call like a deed restriction.
Yeah.
So it does bind the county to use the property as a park. If they ever decided to sell it or something like that, I think they would be required to pay the grant funds back to the state.
It's like a restricted covenant.
It's like a restricted covenant, yeah.
Would... So, I mean, the county could use it as a park. I'm just curious because I've never been involved in a process quite like this. But,
yeah.
I mean, does that limit, would the restricted covenants limit their use, type of uses? Like, for instance, if they came back in a few, you know, after a year or two and decided, hey, you know, maybe we should let mountain biking in here or horses or, you know, whatever they changed their mind about.
Right.
You know, I mean, whatever the deed is.
My guess and my experience of those deed restrictions for parks is they would probably not try to micromanage how the park is developed
right.
and how it is used. They would just want to make sure that it always remained a park.
Okay.
And it would probably give the county a lot of, you know, discretion about.
So as the county needs to change it for various recreational values based on the usage and all that kind of stuff, that's not an issue.
I don't think that'd be a problem. Yeah.
Cool.
Could a private company come in and set up a business like for whitewater rafting?
I don't think that this tract is, you know, I wouldn't see that happening on this property.
Oh, I just noticed something that said shoals, and I thought, whitewater rafting.
But it's quite possible that nearby there, you know, that this, maybe if this becomes a heavily used public facility, that businesses along that stretch of, or that area of the county might, you know, decide that it would be, you know, I don't
I think the answer is no, because A, you have no frontage, and B, the land has to be used for parks.
Yes, I'm saying this. They couldn't set up a business on this park, on this park property, but maybe
on the other side of the property they could, right?
Yeah.
Any other questions for Karen?
What's in the cutout?
So the landowner who's selling this to us owns other land over here, and this is privately owned, and this is a house in here. I mentioned earlier that this tract is configured a little differently than this map shows. There's a line. So there's a section in here now. That this little neck right here is not quite as narrow as this map shows.
Okay.
So there's a section here that would come along with it. But up here is residential dwellings.
The separate rectangular section next to it, though, is that the owner's restriction part of it? Or is that going on with?
Say that question again?
The rectangle section next to the house.
Right there.
The cutout section.
This one I'm pointing to right here?
Yeah, because you made a point of not putting any of the trails inside that section. Is that part of a separate restriction as far as the owner?
No. This line, so the if you look at the county GIS website, this is considered a separate parcel, but it would come along with the property, and once the county owned it, it would be all one park parcel.
Okay.
I can't tell you exactly why this trail location is conceptual, and with the fact that this is there's going to be additional property on where I'm kind of pointing right here, this trail will probably not be a straight line like that. It'll come through here somehow. But yeah, there'll be no constraint. The county will be able to, you know, have a trail go through that part as well.
Will there be access to the game lands?
Yeah, we envision having a point of access here from the Bell Park track into the game lands, and maybe I can back up. There's almost like a little self-contained section of the game lands right here where it's almost cut off from the larger part of the game lands. So we envision a trail that would come in and sort of allow people access here to sort of add to.
Is that the upper parking lot of the put-ins? where that area?
The northern section of the proposed park comes out right across the street from the kayak put-in.
Okay.
Thanks for. This is what I think it's called.
Potsholes
Road.
Mm-hmm.
There's a parking lot right on this side of the bridge. Getting access to the Green River right there, and so the one access into the Bell Trail Park would be right across the street from that.
I'm not a hunter, so I don't know I'm really ignorant, but does game lands mean people go in there and shoot?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm worried about the access maybe putting children in danger.
Well,
warning signs. Big warning signs. But yeah.
Yes, and I guess game lands have points of public access, you know, presently, and so people are currently using them, hunters
yeah.
and non-hunters. And
yeah. San Francisco.
Yeah.
And then a halo.
You gotta know when the season is and when to wear orange. And
yeah.
Well, and hunters don't shoot people.
They try desperately not to, yes.
But it would always be wise to be cautious.
Sure.
And yeah, there'd probably be a good idea to have signs up there kind of informing users about hunting.
Did you say if there is Duke going to allow any kind of public use on that conservation easement, or is it going to be just a, like, down to the river? I've never been on this section of the green. I've
okay.
been on the fishing part down below the fish tank.
Okay.
That's pretty gnarly.
Our first interaction with them.
Well, this
yeah,
is kind of what I was thinking.
Pretty
it's probably pretty gnarly to get
yeah,
down
it's
to.
Pretty
it
steep.
Is.
Yeah, I'll go back to the
I mean, it's beautiful.
Temple.
Yeah, there it is.
There are parts of it that are flatter right
that's
along the river.
Like.
Yeah, that's cool.
Initially, we talked to them about allowing the trail to come onto their property, and they weren't cooperative on that. But more recently, they had mentioned that they might be open to a trail easement there. So that we're still trying to figure that out.
Okay. And even if they don't, it's not the end of the world.
Well,
I was just curious.
Fisherman really wants to get in there, and he'll go in there.
No,
anyway.
Not there. So that I was just thinking about it.
Yeah,
I didn't know how steep it was in there.
I think everyone should go down once. At least once.
Anyway, well, if there are no other questions.
Yes, thanks for sharing this with us, Karen. This is good. I think if you don't mind to give us
mm-hmm.
an update, maybe when you speak to the Recreation Advisory
mm-hmm.
Board, that would
okay.
help us right. help us know maybe how we can help and
yeah.
you know, if there's some next steps for us.
Yeah, well,
know,
again, if you all do decide that you're willing to create a letter of support for the project, that would be, I'm sure it won't hurt and it might be very helpful. So
great.
How did you establish the price of the property?
We had an appraisal done several years ago, so that established the value, and then we've been working on this project probably like 5 or 6 years, and all along the owner has said, I will accept the $450,000, even though we have an appraisal that says it's worth $690,000. So he wants to see this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he came up with the idea of honoring the Bell family. So that's how we, that's the basis of our budget. Is the appraisal. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you
very
much.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
So the other item on new business for us is upcoming B City events. And I think that's in the handout here. I'm going to double check. Yes. And I can happy to send this out through email. That's probably the best way to get to everybody. But there is some events coming up. Thanks again, Karen. Related to Bee City, and a lot of it's coming through the tree board and the city's environmental sustainability board. So I encourage you to see if you have availability and get involved with those. There's some really exciting stuff. Like, for example, they're working on some pollinator garden creation that's going to start July of this year. Do you have anything you want to share on that? I want to give it its due focus, but I'm admittedly a little unprepared for that one. I apologize.
I think Kim is going to talk a lot about that in
not
our
me.
Next meeting.
Not me.
And do you happen to know when the date of that meeting is?
It's March 17th.
March 17th. Okay.
Does anybody know what they were talking about doing a mural?
Yeah,
and what's the time frame?
Oh. That's our quest, is to try to find a building.
Because I'm willing to help. I've done public art stuff
okay.
before, and I emailed, but I haven't had a chance to get
okay,
the email
was
back.
There
yet.
Was a wonderful email that Kim had sent out with all the butterflies and so forth, that I guess they have something in mind. But
They're trying to find a building. They have a couple, but they have to have permission.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. If
we've got plenty of ugly sides around town. I guess the owner would want to see the picture first.
Yes, you have to have permission from the owner. Yes. Mm-hmm.
What kind of materials do they use so it doesn't all peel off? Are they?
I don't know the secrets of that.
Okay.
I don't know.
All the more reason to get involved and find out.
That's
ground
right.
level, right?
You can come to our meeting and maybe you can find out more information.
Yeah. Yeah, Liz and I have been to the NESB meeting before.
Yeah.
It's very insightful, and I would encourage any of us to go if you have opportunity, because I think we can definitely do more together, and it helps for us to work together since we both report to different bodies, the commissioners versus the city council. So it helps. We all live in the same community, so it helps for us to work together, obviously. Does anybody have any announcements for the good of the group?
I had some questions that were brought up in my head when I was watching the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Could I know it's snowing and we all want to go home. Could I take a few minutes?
Sure.
To
we're all here.
I started looking at these maps, and I think it's wonderful that we have parks, and I moved here because of the parks, and, you know, disclaimer. But I started getting concerned by seeing how much public of our land has become public land.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big gung-ho person on that private property is the basis for a healthy government, and nobody wants to live in some feudal thing where the massa owns the property and we have to and economies grow when there's more private land and private land is respected. So when I saw that video and they talked about it getting turned right over to the state, and we're talking about turning over these things to the state, and you look at overlays, I've got county maps that show how much it's not just conservancy land, it's not just parks and state parks and town parks, it's our private land is shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
Schools, roads, DOT, it's just, if you look at it, there's not very much private land back. And I started thinking and thought to myself, if you heard of a species of territorial animal that was showing early signs of failure to thrive in that they were not finding the sustenance and shelter they used to have in their shrinking habitat, and their reproductive rate had dropped by half, wouldn't you be concerned? And I find myself being concerned. Human beings are part of the Henderson County environment. When the folks at CMLC video said they were proud of doing something for the environment, I didn't get the impression they had given a great deal of thought to the overall well-being of their fellow human beings. Man does not live by hiking alone. He also needs jobs and personal space. Private property is the keystone of all the societies in which the majority of human beings have thriven. Starting back in with the free market economies in Holland, where people, the middle class, started to grow. In the video, the word development was spit out like a curse, but without development, human beings don't thrive. Well-planned development provides not only for the habitat in which most humans live and enjoy their being, they yearn for private property, it provides endless jobs. When you build a house, it's a domino thing. Without jobs, or if the threatened species has to travel out of its county to forage, the species does not thrive. Even in Denmark, where the individual is happy to have given up a great deal of his personal freedoms to the collective, even Denmark maintains a thriving free market based on personal property. Because personal property is so important to human vigor, I have a few concerns about the taking of private property and turning it over to the state. Has anyone that anybody knows done a study of what percentage of land ought to be owned by the state or various governments? Exactly when do the benefits of greenways and government-owned parks stop being an asset in terms of future growth and development and start creating a shrinking habitat with a paucity of jobs? Where is the tipping point? Have we even thought about it? What percent of land do you need to have in private hands to allow the growth and development of the human species in our environment? We seem to be on a fast track to an extremely high percentage of Henderson County land in the hands of various governments. I don't think we've reached the tipping point, and I'm delighted with what we've done and are doing, but I think we ought to give some thought to where that point is located. We need to know what percent of conservancy land in the United States has ended up in government hands, local, state, and federal. We need to make thoughtful decisions as to exactly how much land we want to conserve and how much we need to develop. Please keep in mind that we have all benefited from living in a country that is not a feudal or communist country where all the land is owned by the governors. End of line.
I want to thank you for sharing that because it's,
Does the long-term plan include how much, what our end goal is and having what percentage of our county should be in be public use land and what percentage should be private?
Mm-hmm.
About 3 or 4 years ago, Transylvania County referred to themselves, Sonny Bear called himself a third world county because so much of their land is public off limits.
You just look at these maps,
way down.
And they don't include this, and they don't include, 20 other government agencies that I have maps for.
Sure.
And I look at those, and if you overlay them, the amount in private hands that would actually produce jobs that people could have so that they're not exporting their children, this is a real concern for people. Mm-hmm. Their kids can't get a job. Even if they get an education here, they can't get a job here.
Yeah, well, and I, for one, as someone who was raised in Henderson County and, was a high school student who said, I'm going away and I'm going never coming back because there's not opportunities, I was proud to come back partially because I went to school at Appalachian and I felt, I found a deeper love for the mountains. But this community has changed tremendously in the, 20 years since I was a younger person. So I think there is somewhat of a renaissance, but I think the way that we continue that is to strike a balance. It's a balance between jobs and environment.
And have studies been done on where that tipping point is?
And I don't know. I haven't looked into it, but I would say it's different community to community. And, the other thing that plays a role in our backyard is topography. For this one, you couldn't put a subdivision there or anything like that.
Okay. And nobody's going to build a factory perched on the side of it.
Right. So I think that it's always a conversation, and I think I know I hear Larry talk about that a lot, and I think that's a conversation that needs to happen.
Because the only people we've heard for are, like, if we were just getting builders in here who were pro-growth and said they just had to have, less regulation so they could put up their buildings faster, if we were only listening to them, I would feel we were a little lopsided. But instead, we've only been listening to the people that are
environmentally focused.
Yeah, and we're part of the environment, human beings, and jobs for human beings. Our species counts too.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and what I would say,
I think we also should preserve save as much land as we can.
Yeah.
Also, the state's not going to let anything happen to it other than make it a park. I mean, stuff
but
does happen.
But farmland, for example, concerns me greatly.
No,
I'm saying the fact that our farmland is also shrinking, having houses built on it. That concerns me a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the beauties of this valley is that we're, I would bet, self-sustaining, that we can grow enough food to feed our people, but not if we keep sucking up the, land.
The areas.
I don't think any of these come under the... I'm not worried for today. I'm worried for tomorrow.
Yeah.
That if we keep our sneakers on and keep running in this direction, at what point do we need to think, enough?
Yeah.
On the other hand, we've reached a tipping point with population, and we're not talking about that.
I don't believe we're reproducing even ourselves anymore. And
it's another subject altogether, but a balance between nature and the quality of our lives is affected by the size of our population.
Mm-hmm.
And the
any area that you want to, city, county, village, whatever.
Well, one of the things I missed about leaving New York City was that I didn't have the opera, I didn't have, the things that a dense population brings. There, India's pretty damn dense, but they're working on it. You know, they
yeah, I think a lot of people are here because the population is small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
I would agree.
And
people come
don't
from New York
want
and then
to overrun
New York. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The natural areas. It's a very good question that you raise. When I hadn't thought about that we would conserve too much land.
Because it is possible. But, and I worry about that. I'm not really worried about the population thing because we've taken care of that. The minute women become educated enough to know there is such a thing as birth control, immediately you start watching the population levels go down. Except maybe in countries where their religion requires them.
We're very lucky right now with our the balance that we have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very lucky.
Yeah, and I would say, to our credit in this community, there's lots of collective conversations that occur, so none of us have to be experts on population statistics or land use statistics. We can all have a conversation and get a bunch of different people on the table and hopefully come to a collective decision or recommendation, which I think is what this body's looking at for.
Is there literature out there, is my question. I'm aware of things like, there's a book out, Behind the Green Mask, and by Democrats for, wouldn't say it was a political thing, but they just identify themselves that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not aware of scholarly studies done on what percentage, land use, how it affects jobs, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
I think the percentage of land that we have reserved and conserved in this country is so small.
Oh, have you seen a map?
It's infinitesimal.
Entire states have just like a little island.
That's because there's nothing else in those.
Just the desert or something?
Well,
or it's not.
They don't traditionally have large populations anyway.
Montana.
Yeah, for example.
Montana or Wyoming.
Yeah.
Where they measure square miles per person.
You should email the Bundy family, though.
And you go out to
have your answer.
You go out for pizza and you drive 100 miles.
The other thing you have to remember about this is these are not, nobody's taking anybody's property in this. These are volunteer. This
yeah,
is a private landowner.
Yeah.
And if he
the,
wants
the
to.
The phrase taking doesn't mean.
Well, the difference is that if he doesn't want to take the. I mean, if we don't put it into a park or the county doesn't take over, he can still put the conservation easement, and the difference is nobody benefits from it.
Yeah, I'm not arguing
not,
with doing this.
Which, quite frankly, from the environmental standpoint and ecological standpoint, is not
a bad idea
in a lot of cases, because there's plenty of opportunities too where people love places to death. So,
mm-hmm.
But it is a private landowner doing what he wants to with his private land. This is what he wants
but
to do.
But when the state takes over, it's no longer private land.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. But the only difference here is that whether the public gets any access, any say in it, or whether he gets to decide everything that happens with it.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because he owns it now, and he's deciding everything that's going to happen with it in the future now. He is more than capable or has the ability to say, I will put a conservation easement on this, but you cannot sell it to the government. That can be put in the language of the easement. The nice thing about conservation easements is they are very, very versatile and very open, and you can put all kinds of things in there.
Not fighting with the idea of conservation easements.
Well, I know, but you're discussing about whether this needs to go into public plant property or not versus private property, and it's private property where a private landowner wants to turn it into public property. So are we going to go tell a private landowner now that he can't do what he wants to do his own
private
land?
No, I'm not. Why are you arguing with me? I agree with you already.
Well, that's not how it sounds.
I didn't make my point, I guess. My point is that sometime in the future, we might be endangering the human species by...
I agree with you. It's a given. If you have 0% public lands...
It's bad.
That might not be good. If you have 100% public lands, that doesn't sound good either.
Yeah.
The question
is,
where's
the balance?
Mm-hmm. Where in that gray area should we be, and are we maybe at it, and we're good where we are?
I don't think we're at it, but I think
you're
we ought to be thinking.
Have conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 So
it's legitimate.
For what it's worth, yeah, there is a point out there in which we could have too much public land. I agree with you.
And I think we should be aware of maybe where that point is when we're making decisions about public land.
Well, how do y'all feel about just getting an update from Kieran, maybe through Rachel or through me once they've talked to the Recreation Advisory Board, and then we have a conversation, okay, what do we as the EAC see how we can be helpful, or do we just say we think it's a great idea as a committee, but we don't feel like it's our place to take any further steps? I mean,
well, he almost requested a letter, and I'd make a motion that we should write a letter.
Okay.
I agree that we should write a letter. I think as far as the county having public land and the location of this on the Green River, this is like one of the primary water resources, the greatest asset in Henderson County. You have this in the French Broad.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, thousands of people come just to kayak it. All over the country.
And establishing the connectivity to the
Gamelins,
which at some, like, you can see it at some point, the Gamelins are going to be for more than just hunters, as much as they would fight it.
It's yeah.
And not everyone's.
I'm all for writing a letter. They can, and I have full trust in CLMC that they'll do really good with it, whatever their plan ends up being.
I think the worry about loving it to death that somebody mentioned, this is not that kind of a place.
Okay.
Jones Beach in New York, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, not everyone will go out there. Yeah. You know, it'll only draw a certain kind of people.
Yeah. Fit might be.
Well, there's some level land out there. It's not all
right.
It's uphill and downhill.
Well, let me ask you this. Does someone want to offer a motion to go ahead and do a letter of support, or do you want to wait and learn more information? What do y'all think is... Because we have a quorum right now.
I'll make the motion.
We've got 6-8.
Yeah, a second.
Can you formalize the motion for me?
I make a motion that we write a letter of support for the concept of getting the county involved in this particular project.
Great. Got a second from Philip. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Nice job, everybody. Okay. And then, I guess the other thing on the table is our next meeting. We've been kind of... going with a monthly meeting.
We could make, if since we have a quorum, couldn't we make a change in the bylaws?
What do you want to change?
That we meet every month.
Yeah, our bylaws say quarterly now, is that right?
Yeah, this has been a conversation for a few months now.
So that would put us April 7th at 3 o'clock.
I wouldn't make that motion because I like it like every other month. But
yeah. Well, yeah. So, do we want to approve having a meeting in 30 days, or do we want to have a conversation about what our frequency should be in general?
What's this?
What do we have coming up?
Are we gonna write this letter? Are we gonna wait and see what Parks? We're gonna write the letter, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it would be nice to hear what, since he's got a meeting schedule, what comes of that.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, it sounds like their time frame is fairly accelerated because May 2nd.
Yeah.
So we might ought to at least meet next month since this issue has a limited time.
Yeah. Okay.
Sell by date.
That's right. Okay. Well, do you want to use the same strategy we did before, bring a draft to the next meeting and we can slice and dice it?
You do the work.
we'll
She'll mess it up and then we'll all prove it.
Okay.
Was that recorded?
Yes, it was.
Operate like a real family. That's right. Okay.
I was going to also let you all know that Bee City has a Facebook website page that has all these activities that
they
she
do.
Was talking about.
Yeah.
That's
on
great.
It. I meant to say it earlier, but I just thought about it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kim.
I might have missed it. Could you two introduce yourselves?
Oh, I'm Jerry Conley from the ESB.
Jerry, good to meet you. I'm Philip.
I'm Ann Green.
Ann
Green, and I've been coming to the meetings because I'm going to be
a member.
Oh, cool.
After we stay here long enough, we'll send that over.
Just push the seat out. Sit down, please.
Sit down.
Okay, so I'll bring a draft to next month's meeting, which will occur in 30 days on April 7th. And
we'll ratify your letter. Yeah.
There you go. Sounds good. Motion to adjourn.
Do I have to make all the motions today?
I motion right. to adjourn.
All right.
Second.
All in favor, let's go.
Aye.
All right.